We're here at podtech.net. We're with Andy Kessler in the heart of Silicon Valley in Atherton, right next to Palo Alto. Andy Kessler, famous in analyst, investor, and now author. Your new book out, End of the Medicine, which is really a story about technology and innovation. What's your book about?
Yeah, it sure is.
There's a picture of a mouse on the front, which is looks like it's getting x-rayed.
Yeah, a mouse getting scanned by a PET scanner. Medicine hasn't changed in 100 years, and Silicon Valley is all about changes every 18 months. And so, I've spent my life looking at chips and software and companies in the Valley and kind of got bored with wireless and wikis and all those things. And I said, gee, I wonder what other industry is about to be destroyed or turned upside down by Silicon Valley. And I ran into a friend who, unbeknownst to me, was skiing and banged his head, and they did an x-ray thinking he broke his neck, but instead they found a tumor on top of his neck, and he went through 18 months of chemo, and he's fine today. But I looked at him, I said, what you're telling me is skiing saved your life. And he said, yeah, it did. And so they found his cancer by accident. And I thought, surely there must be some technology that can go find cancer or hardening of the arteries and all this stuff, well before it's going to kill you or me. So I went to my doctor, and he took my blood pressure and cholesterol and took out a rubber hammer and banged my knee. And I go, that's all you can do? Come on, there's got to be something better than this that can change medicine. So I set out on a journey, and I started looking at tools and at anything that could change. And what I found was astounding, that there was all sorts of silicon that's about to invade medicine. And the beauty of silicon is it gets cheaper by 30% a year, not more expensive like doctors do. And so as silicon invades, we're going to start replacing doctors with silicon, and that's what's going to change medicine.
You sound a lot like Ray Kurzweil, the whole wacky, technology. But the real deal is that, you lived your life as an analyst and an investor during the semiconductor boom, which was, in essence, Moore's Law. What you're looking at here is essentially that whole dynamic affecting medicine.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So this isn't like robots, or we're all going to be these bio-human whacknoids.
Nanotubes and all this craziness.
It's not that at all. Instead, it's all technology that exists today. So first of all, I spent a bunch of time at the Palo Alto Medical Foundation with a radiologist reading mammograms. Now I'm 47, but people tell me I'm no more than 12-year-old adolescent, and this may be true. And when you're writing a book, you're looking for vivid scenes, and what could be better than reading mammograms on an afternoon? And what I found is that here was this 70-year-old radiologist in front of these films in black and white with a magnifying glass, looking for things. He'd been doing it for so long, he's great at it, but surely there has to be some other way to read these mammograms. And so as I was watching this guy, he kept pushing a button saying, I wonder what R2 thinks about this. And I go, what the hell is R2? Well, it turns out that there's a company called R2 that has a program that does computer-aided detection. It reads in the same mammogram films that radiologists read, and using neural networks looks for patterns to help identify potential breast cancer. And from zero in the year 2000, now over a third of the 40 million mammograms that are read every year, the second read is done
by a
computer. The second opinion. And it's done for $29 instead of the well over $100. Every mammogram in the U.S. is read by two radiologists. Now it's one plus a computer for a third.
It's like an expert system.
Right.
And this is computer paradigm stuff now.
This is pure Moore's Law. As that gets cheaper, it's going to become the first read is done by a computer, and then the second opinion by a live human. And then I started looking at heart disease and hardening the arteries. I went to Smith and Walensky's when I was in New York and had a big steak and started saying,
"Gosh, you like steak, you're a beef eater, you like to have your eggs with bacon, and of course, you're worried.
My cholesterol's high, my blood pressure's high, am I going to have a heart attack?" And he said, my brother-in-law had a heart attack in the middle of the night, I had a friend die, played basketball from a heart attack. And so what I did is I started looking at these CT scans, and I was talking to a company involved, and they said, about 2000, these CT scans, computed tomography, could do one slice of your body per rotation. That's what it could scan, one slice per rotation. Then they went to four slices per rotation, then 16 slice. And now they have 64 slice scanners. So I asked this guy, I said, let me guess, the next one is 256? And he looked at me, hey, how'd you know that? I go, well, in Silicon Valley, we live by those numbers. I mean, those are the numbers. And the same thing in PCs and iPods and cell phones and digital cameras. And so with a 256 slice scanner, be able to scan your heart in 80 milliseconds. Okay, you don't even have to hold your breath. As soon as your heart's at rest, bam, it does a high-res scan. It creates a 3D model that a radiologist can fly through, like World of Warcraft or Halo 2.
It's like you mail in, wake up in the morning, and send it into R2, R2-D2, if you will, and just basically get expert opinion.
It could be a human, it could be a computer that reads it, or you read it yourself. You have a scan done, and your kids, you go, hey, son, take a look at my heart. Well, you know, before you finish with World of Warcraft, take a look. And it could find the heart and the arteries. The problem is, it's expensive. It's $1,000 a scan. But since it's Moore's Law, 4, 16, 64, 256, these scans are going to be $100 before we know it. And then they're going to be mainstream. We're all going to have them done. And heart attacks, I think, are going to be a thing of the past.
We're here with Andy Kessler, who just wrote the book End of Medicine, and it says how Silicon Valley and naked mice will reboot your doctor. Andy, you've written, Running Money, Wall Street Meat, which is really goes back to your days as really at the front end of the computer revolution, with semiconductors, where, in essence, technology in Silicon Valley really changed the world.
Right.
And so here in the heart of Silicon Valley where you now live, you spent the past year or so really digging into technology and intersection with medicine. What did you find? I mean, what ahas did you walk away with, and kind of, as an investor, as an individual and a human, what did you see?
Well, what I found was that technology that exists today can change the game in medicine. That as technology for medicine gets cheaper every year, insurance companies and Medicare will start paying for it, and therefore turn the game in medicine from chronic care to early detection. If you could find hardening of your arteries, clogs in your arteries early enough, you could fix it. If you could find cancer 5 years early when the tumors are microscopic versus the size of a cocktail olive, then you could fix it. You could radiate it. You could cut it out, freeze it out, and it just changes the game. And so the money, instead of being spent on chronic care, I mean, cancer patients, the expenses are hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you can do preventative care, then it's going to flip the whole healthcare industry. And that's the same thing that technology has done to computing, to music, to telephony, to wireless communications, and it's going to do it to healthcare.
So saving lives, but not only that, wealth creation, major shifts, the money's going to shift around. But, so all that's great. It's going to be a great opportunity for investors. How is it going to change research? I mean, isn't there like a whole cottage industry that's developed around kind of research? I mean, people are trying to find the cure of cancer. What you're doing is kind of reversing the vector a bit and thinking, hey, this could be right here. The cure of cancer is on the front end.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts on that?
I hope someone does have the cure for cancer, right? When we grew up and kids, your parents would say, you should be a doctor and find the cure for cancer. Well, maybe the cure for cancer is not, there is no cure. You just find it early enough so that the treatment is simple. So I, as I said before, heart disease and stroke may be a thing of the past because of these CT scans, which are X-ray scans that look into your body. But to find microscopic cancer cells and tumor, these structural imaging won't work. And so there's a whole series of research that's going on. It's going on at Stanford. It's going on at the Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, at Harvard, and a bunch of places called molecular imaging. Well, what they do is they send in a bunch of probes tagged with radiation that can go and find these cancer cells and pinpoint them and light them up on a screen. So while I spent a bunch of time with a radiologist reading mammograms, I then went to the basement of the James Clark building over at Stanford, right? The founder of Netscape, Jim Clark, funded this building. And downstairs in this building, you find these mice labs. And it's gross. I mean, there's just tons of mice. They must go through 10,000 mice in this place. They said that they would go through more if only they could put conveyor belts in to move them around faster. and what I found they were doing was they were injecting these mice with human breast cancer cells a month before. And then I got there, and so there was a tumor in this mouse somewhere. You couldn't see it from the outside. And then they would inject them with these probes that would go and specifically find breast cancer cells, and they tagged them with radiation. They put them in a PET scanner, a positron emission tomography scanner, and a 3D image of the mouse would show up on the screen with a red dot where that human breast cancer cell was. And you looked and you go, talk about an aha moment. I'd gone from black and white screens of films with a magnifying glass and a radiologist to an injection with a red dot on a 3D image of a mouse. And this is going to change everything.
What's the roadmap in terms of time frame? When can you see this hitting the scene?
Well, the scans for heart and stroke are here today. They're just not cheap enough. And so over the next 2 to 5 years...
faster, smaller, cheaper.
Yeah. 2 to 5 years, that will be absolutely mainstream, and it will affect the number of heart attacks that happen. On the cancer side, there's issues with the FDA. You know, you can't just go and inject radiation or some foreign substance tagged with radiation into humans. And so I think there has to be a lot more work done to prove the safety. Not so much the efficacy. I think the efficacy is going to be there because it doesn't have to kill the cancer. It just has to find it early. And so I think in 5 years, the technology will prove out, and in 10 years, it'll be mainstream. So for baby boomers, it's not going to save baby boomers' parents, but it's going to save the baby boomer generation. And not only that, it's going to be the next big intellectual property export of the U.S. I mean, you know, think of how many chain-smoking Europeans are going to get cancer over the next 20
years. That's a real generalization. Let's talk about this because it's nice. It is going to be a nice export. But this is the next frontier for big technology and big money. I mean, you've been involved in both. I mean, you've a very trend-oriented investor and person. You know, so big technology, big money. Where are the big areas there? Talk about the convergence of big technology and big money from your perspective.
Well, here's the good news. We already spend $2 trillion a year on healthcare in the U.S. So it's not like we got to go shake money out of people's wallets to go invent some new industry. The industry's already there. You just have to redirect the dollars. The problem with healthcare today is that doctors who soak up a lot of those healthcare dollars are flying blind. I mean, they can tell your cholesterol number and your blood pressure. They can't tell you anything about cancer until, you know, some golf ball sized thing shows up in your body. But since those doctors are expensive,
which they'll then outsource to get filmed, and they come back and tell you have a tumor.
Yeah,
you have a tumor.
And you're going to die in 6 months. And if we give you chemo, maybe it'll be 9 months. Well, thanks for nothing. Why didn't you find it on my last visit 5 years ago? Well, if you can start taking the intelligence of those doctors and embedding them in silicon, okay, there's these biomarker chips that are coming down the road that will have antibodies on them that will scan your blood for unique proteins in cancer. So if you have kidney cancer, which is almost impossible to find by scanning because it's soft tissue on soft tissue, some of those cells will slough off in your blood. And if you have this chip that goes and looks for dozens or even thousands of different types of cancer, this chip can be a buck. It could be 10 cents. So instead of your doctor doing diagnosis, we could have silicon, an ever cheaper silicon, doing diagnosis. And so what I think happens in medicine is that technology does to doctors what ATMs did to tellers. Get them out of the way.
That's a great, great statement. I mean, let's talk about that for a second. I mean, you talk about Silicon Valley will reboot your doctor, and the doctors will become the ATM, what ATM and tellers are, and to people in healthcare. How is Silicon Valley really shaping this? I mean, and talk about that specifically. Final word.
Well, for now, it doesn't even know about it that much. But the fact that you could have gigabit flash memory chips for cameras and phones, and faster and faster processors, and 3D imaging chips for video games, all of that technology will be applied to the medical industry. So it's not as if there's a huge amount of invention that needs to take place. There's sure as heck a lot of software and a lot of systems that need to be
created. It's an integration issue.
It's an integration issue and applying the technology that's already being used towards medicine. Most of the work is being done at research labs. The venture capital community has not yet stepped up and funded the diagnostics business. Why? Because there's no business model. You know, that $2 trillion a healthcare industry, very little of it is spent on diagnostics. But as it gets cheaper, it's all going to flip. And as it flips,
that's
venture capital community will step up. Wall Street will step up, and I'll make the bold prediction, this is the next great bubble of Silicon Valley, is the great healthcare bubble of 2010.
The technology, healthcare, big money, big technology, flipping upside down, what the ATM did to the tellers, technology can do the doctor. Andy Kessler, new book, The End of Medicine, How Silicon Valley Will Reboot Your Doctor. Looking forward to talking more about it.
Thanks, John. Stay healthy.
Thanks for the podcast.